Enter three witches. What they entered was not a race. It was, in fact, a cave of ominous portent, which was different from a regular cave in that it possessed a spooky lighting concept. This was achieved by kindling a fire in the cave and then covering it with the black iron bottom of a cauldron, in which something eldritch may or may not be stewed.
But let's be real. No one ever bought a cauldron and installed it in a cave to make a mundane soup. It was always, always going to be an eldritch stew. Especially since they'd brought the requisite bucket full of entrails, pouches of herbs, and assorted dried eyeballs.
"Thrice the bundle cat hath mewed,"
the first witch said, in perturbed disbelief that one cat could have so much to mew about.
"Then let him out of the dang sack,"
the second witch said, her exasperation clear.
"You know he hates it."
The cat in question mewed again and was thus released from his torment. He ran out of the cave like his tail was on fire, which it was, as he'd accidentally run too close to the flames.
"It's time, sisters, it's time,"
the third witch intoned, like she was somehow better and witchier and closer to the spheres than the other two witches. The first witch sighed and rubbed her temples.
"Gather round the cauldron, then, and let's get on with it. Magic waits for no one."
"Did you just say magic with a K?"
the second witch asked.
"And why would you say round instead of around?"
The first witch looked a bit sheepish.
"I read in Better Brooms and Cauldrons that it made things more official, and since you insist on wearing hand-knit tunics covered in kittens, someone has to put in the work at adding some ambience."
"Witches are supposed to have cats. It's right there in the handbook."
"One cat,"
the first witch said, now on the attack and looking down her nose.
"A familiar, cloaked in night to do thy dark bidding, not 73 strays milling about the house. Every time I visit your place, I leave smelling like an outhouse crossed with a wharf and the hair."
"If you can't use Malefichat's no hair on their spell, are you really a witch?"
The second witch sniffed. Her kitten-covered tunic was the requisite black, but it was coated in a thick layer of cat fur and stained a particular shade of brown that could only be called tuna and vittles.
"Enough!"
the third witch cried, clawed hands in the air.
"We're running out of time."
She cleared her throat, spat a phlegm globber into the fire pit, and began.
Double toil and mess. The fire's hot, and I hate chess." "What's that?"
the second witch broke in.
"You hate chess?"
The third witch drew herself up tall.
"I do."
"But how is that relevant to the spell?"
"It rhymes,"
the third witch spat.
"Rhyming is more important than meaning." "But you could have gone with bless, dress, guess, less."
The first witch trailed off. She was not a poet, and she did know that well, but she could rhyme when the moment required it.
"If you have a better spell up your sleeve, please continue,"
the third witch said with that horrible sort of sweetness that suggests a punch to the schnoz might work better for all involved.
"Ahem,"
the first witch said.
"Continuing, in the poisoned duodenum throw, three fat toads and a tortoise named Joe."
"Joe,"
the second witch screeched.
"But he was my favorite, that's tortoise."
"They're a pestilence,"
the first witch said, her voice quite stern.
"And they were warned. As I said, fillet of eel, a dab of butter, add salt and pepper, marinate overnight in apple juice, roast at 350 for an hour.
That's not the spell. That's a recipe for eel casserole.
The third witch hissed.
Then I'll go on. Shall I?
The second witch asked sweetly.
Now, ahem. Wool of Lamatar, tongue of bat, eye of newt, and a fuzzy hat. Adder's arse and gecko's toes. Into the pot the whole mess goes.
Each witch bent over to pick up a bucket, and they all dumped their ingredients into the cauldron with a hearty splash.